on today's show, I'll be telling you about some incredible courses and products that my friend Richard Byrne, author of Free Technology for Teachers, has. You can take a look at coolcatteacher.com/edtech. And at the end of the show, I'll tell you about several of my favorites. So the number one show of 2017 is What Helps Kids Really Learn with Andrew Studdill. Now, the thing that surprised me about this show is this was really a conversation about what excited us and what excited Andrew in particular, an area of study. And I think it stresses the importance of having these conversations about what helps kids really learn. Definitely worth a listen and a conversation with you and your PLN. Hope you enjoy.
The 10-Minute Teacher Podcast with Vicki Davis. Every weekday, you'll learn powerful, practical ways to be a more remarkable teacher today.
Several episodes back, one of our educators just went on and on about Andrew Studdill and his Estimate 180 website. But today, we're actually going to talk about learning. So, Andrew, you know, I was just listening to a teacher talk the other day, and they were frustrated. And they're looking at these final exams, and yeah, there's some kids who've mastered it, but there's some kids who just don't seem to be learning the material. And I know that you are passionate about understanding what helps things stick into the mind.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just getting onto the road of the beginning of my journey to really dive into the idea of what helps us learn as long-term learners, not only as adults, but our students too, and how can we support them in that? Creating an environment, creating activities and lessons and structure so that they thrive and also are able to remember the content that we teach. I think right now, when I say I'm at the beginning of my journey, there's two books that I'm just kind of going back and forth with. One of the books is called Make It Stick. There's three authors on that, Peter Brown, Harry Rodiger and Mark McDaniel. And that's just kind of learning the premises, pretty much the science of successful learning. And then there's David Sousa, I think is how you say his name. I could be wrong. And his is How the Brain Learns. And he has a specific edition on mathematics. So as a math teacher by trade, just thought back of various times in my classroom when, you know, kids understandably would not remember like a handout or a review packet or some worksheet that I might have given because there's really no meaning to it. Yet they would remember the craziest things. If I told a story, how I used math in life, or for example, like you said, at Estimation 180, I provided my students with visuals and ways for them to make sense of the world around them. So I take pictures of things and ask them to estimate quantities or heights or distances. And when I would show early estimation pictures at the beginning of the year, and then I maybe use them a little bit later in the year or reviewed, like it was amazing. It blew my mind away that kids would actually remember some answers or like be really close. And I was like, there's something there. There's something that sticks. And so I'm a musician too. Music is a form of language and a way for people to communicate, find a commonality. And I'm always amazed at how music strikes people differently and how it sticks with people. So as a musician, maybe I'll listen to the guitar tracks more than the vocals or the lyrics, but yet for other people, they listen to the lyrics more than me, yet it still sticks. And you can't memorize like your favorite song. You can't memorize it on the first listen. It takes time. It takes repetition. It takes coming back to. And the more I'm reading and learning is that I feel like education activities and learning and lessons need that idea that, you know, you have to kind of grapple with something at first. There's something hooky there. You like it, but you have to return to it. You need practice on it. You need to be tested on it. Like if I'm listening to my favorite song and then all of a sudden it stops, you know, like, could I continue that song on in my head? Could I hum it? Could I listen? The same kind of goes in education. Like, if the bell rings, could my students continue their thought process? Could they continue making sense of what I was maybe teaching that day in math? So that's what I'm grappling with.
So Andrew, as you wrestle with this, I mean, we know we need meaningful practice, but you know, memorization and boring routine. I mean, isn't the word boring and the word memorize, aren't those kind of reviled in education right now? And I mean, some people really rebel against repetition. So how can we repeat without being boring, you know? And do we have to memorize? I mean, sometimes we have to, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. If we break those two words down, like boring is totally relative, right? It's subjective. Memorization is more matter of fact, but then I think everybody's brain is differently wired. So how do people memorize things more than others? It's such a great question, whereas something that I found was engaging to me might not have been engaging to my students. Mm-hmm. It might have been boring to them. And or as educators, we could all sit around and joke, like, you know, you hear it commonly, like, my hair could be on fire, no one's paying attention, kind of thing. Like, we've all had those days. Mm-hmm. So in terms of memorization, yeah, like, I really want to know more about that, because the more experience I got as a teacher, as an eighth grade teacher, yeah, multiplication facts were important to me, that my students knew them. But at the same time, the more as I progressed in my craft of teaching, it was like, well, what if my kids can just make sense of multiplying, you know, like, say kids struggled with 12s. Like, that's weird that kids struggle with 12s. It's totally fine. But then for some reason, they were fine with 11s. So like 5 times 11, kids would just go 55. Great. So if I can empower that kid to do that, and then just say, look, add 5 more to that to get your 12th 5, and that makes it 60. Like, that's empowering. And then hopefully that logic sticks and not the multiplication fact. I need to learn more.
Yeah, the thing I'm hearing you say is that you're trying different ways. And I'm actually having a flashback. At the end of the school year, I do anonymous student surveys. I'll ask, you know, what do you like best? What do you like least? And on one question where they say what they like best, you know, half of the class said, I love it when you circle up, you tell stories, and we have conversations. And then the other half of the class said, you talk too much. It's like, well, which is it? You know, and it's, I think that we somehow think that we're going to get 100% approval from everybody for how we do this repetition. And I think that's unrealistic. I mean, do you, or is it just me?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I've actually reminded myself of that when I do like consulting, when I work with districts, teachers feel like I should come and present them with this silver bullet. And yet we need to poke holes in things. And we're going to say, yeah, we're not always going to have a high level of engagement. We're not always going to be people pleasers. Like, we can't please everybody. And that, I don't think that's what we need to get into it for.
Yeah. I always tell my students, you're going to thank me when you're 23.
I agree 100% that, you know, it can't please everybody. And so,
but we don't want to use that as a cop out either. I mean, I know teachers who just use, you know, their worksheet wonders, and they just use worksheets. I mean, have you read enough, Andrew, to know that business as usual, worksheets as usual don't work?
For the most part, yeah, I've scratched the surface on that one a little bit. So, short answer, yeah, I think I've read enough. I'm convinced enough. How's that based off the reading I've done, but also convinced on the personal experiences I've had that worksheets aren't enough. There's a time and place for it, though. It's a, you know, playing sports. Like, if I'm at practice and a coach shows me how to do something, then now I, on my own time, I can go work on that muscle memory. There's a time and place where I just, you know, playing basketball, I had to go practice my free throws. But at practice, the coach would specifically help me with my form, how to release the ball, how to set the ball up. The same thing happens in the classroom. Like, as teachers, we got to be in a position to kind of help students understand things or use critical thinking or problem solve and work on those mechanics face to face with them. And then there might be a time and place where it's like, look, you just need to kind of do some grunt work here. You got to practice a few things. And that is part of making things stick a little bit, but it's not, you know, it's not the end all where you just hand out a worksheet and be like, yep, do 50 of these and you'll remember it.
Andrew, as we finish up, you know, we've really talked about a lot of issues. I mean, this is almost like a conversation you and I might have if we were on the same school in the faculty teachers lounge, you know, about learning, because these are things that we teachers talk about. But could you give a 30-second pep talk to those teachers who just feel like, you know what, it's the end of the year and have I actually taught anything?
What gets you excited about what you teach? I tend to fall back on Simon Sinek's TED Talk. And why do you want to wake up and get out of bed? So on Monday, what gets you excited that you're going to get up out of bed, go to school, greet your students at the door and teach them? And so that for me is what helps guide my work as a teacher and as a coach. And so I try and share that enthusiasm with other teachers and say, like, what gets you excited? What is something that you experienced in your life that you're excited about and you can share with your kids? And then it's amazing, like you said, like, you'll have a conversation or a storytelling opportunity with your kids and those stick and the learning will actually come out of it. So find stuff you're excited about it and share it with your kids.
And, you know, teachers, teaching is a relentless pursuit of learning. It's hard. It's not easy. There are no easy answers. And I would just encourage you on this Motivational Monday, what are you wrestling with right now? What are you going to find your books on this summer? What are you going to look into so that you can be a better teacher in the fall? Because that, teachers, is what truly makes us remarkable. So today on the show, I'm sharing with you some of my favorite products from my friend Richard Byrne, who authors Free Technology for Teachers. He has several courses. He has G Suite for Teachers, which really tells you a lot about the Google products. He has his Practical EdTech group and even a coaching group where you get some extra help and tips from him. Now, if you're a history teacher, you definitely want to check out the Teaching History with Technology. Now, these products are paid, and I do get a small affiliate fee if you sign up. It's no extra charge to you, but if you do sign up, then I'll get that. Or you can just Google those from my friend Richard Byrne, or just go to coolcatteacher.com/edtech. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast. You can download the show notes and see the archive at coolcatteacher.com/podcast. Never stop learning.